Welcome to the next episode of Flint Code Talks. It's your boy Dano. I'm here in the Austin office. I've got several guests with us today, and today we're going to talk workforce development. Super excited for our guest. Kevin Brackmeyer, the CEO of SkillPoint Alliance, is here. We've got Jennifer Cobb, who is a SkillPoint grad and a journeyman with FSG Electric, and Tamara Atkinson, who's the CEO of Workforce Solutions Capital Area. Welcome to Flint Code Talks.
Thank you so much for having us.
Yeah, I'm excited y'all are here.
Great to be here.
Great. So everybody wants to get to know our guests a little bit. Kevin, tell us a little bit about yourself and maybe a little bit about SkillPoint.
Well, again, my name's Kevin Brackmeyer. I'm the CEO at SkillPoint Alliance. I've been with SkillPoint since 2016. I'm a former educator of about 30 years, assistant principal, superintendent, and all of those things that go with it. SkillPoint Alliance is a local nonprofit. We are headquartered in Austin, and our mission is to help individuals who, you know, need to find their way into not a job, but a career that has upward mobility. And so we provide those opportunities to students that come through our program, specifically in HVAC, plumbing, pre-apprentice electrical, and we also have a manufacturing class. And those programs are free to all of our students.
Did y'all hear that? Free to all the students.
F-R-E-E, free.
I love it. F-O-C, free of charge. Jennifer, tell us about yourself.
Yes, I'm a mother of two, journeyman electrician, as you said, FSG, and recently foreman out at Samsung. I graduated from SkillPoint in 2019.
Wow,
and it's been a while. They led me to FSG. I did a four-year apprenticeship there. Immediately got my journeyman's after that, and I'm from Austin.
Awesome. Tamara, tell us about yourself.
Yeah, thank you so much. So at Workforce Solutions, we believe that everyone in this community has the right to be able to build a career pathway here, and that every employer should be able to hire local. I've been in workforce development 25 years, actually, and my first career was as an educator. And I worked overseas teaching people English, helping them build their skills. And what I realized when I was doing it was I was really in the business of workforce development. Workforce development is about helping people have skills that are in demand in their market so that they can get better jobs to support themselves and their families.
Really impressive, all of y'all. I'm so glad y'all are here. I feel like the little guy on the podcast today, just the host. So Flintco's been in Austin, you know, just over 20 years now. And when we sit back and look at the job climate, what's going on in Austin, I look at these jobs I'm going to tell you about. The airport, several billion dollars, new hospital on UT's campus. I've heard between $2 and $3 billion. We've got the convention center that's going to break ground. That's $1 billion. Samsung, nobody knows that number. I think it's 10 plus. I've heard numbers bigger than that. I've heard numbers as small as 5. Just a couple weeks ago, Alcoa announced they were going to redevelop their plant between Taylor and Rockdale to the tune of $800 million. Rockdale came out last week and said they have a solar farm coming in that's $800 million, or solar panel manufacturing, $800 million. Elon wants to make his building a little bit bigger out on the east side. I-35 is going to expand. They're talking about light rail. Raise your hand if you think we have enough skilled workforce to build just those projects right now in Central Texas. Nobody? Not a one?
I like your face. Yeah. You're like, oh my gosh, no.
He has to be kidding. Tell me, what are the numbers y'all have heard? What's the shortage number that you've heard for skilled workers? Is there a number that comes to mind?
Go ahead, Kevin.
Well, I think if you added those up, the number of projects is about $25 billion, give or take. Yeah. I didn't have a calculator, but I think we're close.
It depends on what the Samsung number is.
Yeah. So we're going to need roughly 10,000 workers a year to make this all happen. And I think collectively we're just about, you know, we're needing 4,000 or making about 4,000 individuals getting trained to get into these industries right now. So we got a long way to go. You have a long way to go to get there.
10,000 a year for how many years do you think?
Next 20 years.
20 years, yeah. 20.
I know. It's incredible. If I can put it in some context.
Please.
It's no surprise to anyone that Austin's economy is really growing. Just to give you two data facts that will put that into perspective. Number one is year over year, January last year to January this year, we have 4,000 more job postings just in 1 year and across multiple industries, not just in mobility and infrastructure. And when we look at our projected job growth macroeconomics over the next 10 years, the Austin region is projected to more than double the national average of job growth. So whereas the national average is about 6% job growth in the next 10 years, we're at 14%. So if it feels like where our economy's on fire and we have a shortage of workers, we've got lots of data to back that up. It's true.
This is not a test, right? This is actual truth. So one of the questions that comes to my mind when we think about 10,000 people a year for the next 20 years to be able to build these jobs, these are just the showcase jobs.
Right.
These aren't the jobs. I mean, I can tell you four Flintco jobs that are 100+ million that we have going on either right now or under contract or are going to start in the next 6 to 8 months. And that's peanuts compared to this list. But we've got to find people for our jobs as well. I wanted to ask a global question about how do y'all feel that we got here, right? I know people are moving to Austin and companies want to move here. But if this isn't like the regular job growth across the country, how did Central Texas, how did we end up with such a deficit?
I actually think that the former superintendent should take this one. How did we get here, Mr. Educator?
Ooh, ooh. Okay, well, so we're getting into storytelling time here, so.
Let's hear it.
Yeah, I remember, so I was a little lowly assistant principal back in the 90s, and I can recall the day that the school district truck showed up and pulled all of the saws and all of the equipment that we were using in our shop classes out of the classrooms. Mm-hmm. And off they went, and we never saw them again, and replaced those with, you know, your CAD programs and things like that. So in terms of really that hands-on where students were actually learning the trades and learning the skills that they needed, that we needed, those went away. And we haven't seen those, you know, it's starting to come back, but I feel like that was kind of the start of this gap that has been created. And then we didn't train, we didn't have those students who got that specific training. And then you had the folks that are like my uncle who's retired, and we're not backfilling those jobs. And so here we are at a huge skills gap that we're experiencing right now.
Yeah, I'll jump in. Similar to Kevin, though I wasn't in an assistant principal position. As a student in high school, I remember that shop class, or where the kids were going to learn vocational skills, what we call now career technical education skills. That's in my high school. That's where kids who couldn't cut it academically went, or kids who were the problems. And so the rest of us stayed in classrooms and were told, if you don't go to college, you don't go to 4 year, you're not achieving your full potential. And so I think as a society for more than two decades, we just got the message really wrong. And the result is that we funneled a lot of kids to get a lot of degrees. They incurred a lot of debt. And now you've got people that may not have the skills necessarily that are in demand in the workplace. And we're kind of having to recover from what I'll call a two-decade-old hangover of thinking that a one-size-fits-all for all of our students is the way to go. And we completely, I mean, it's not irreparable, but we really did a disservice overall to our economy at a macro level, I think.
Mm-hmm. Kevin, you talked about the day that they came and took the saws. I remember being in shop class in middle school. Seventh grade at Riverwood Middle School, Mr. Watson taught me how to use a radial alarm saw and taught us how to use a table saw properly. And at what point when you move the guard over so far that you needed to use the little push tool to push the wood through without cutting your fingers off in class. Golly, it breaks my heart to think that that's the day you remember. That's the day that the music died, we could say, for you, right? When everything gets taken out. And then certainly thinking about a two-decade hangover, I really like the way that sounds also, that there is a gap. And it's kind of maybe between my generation as a guy that graduated from high school in 1997, college in 2002,
I'm not going to say on the record when I graduate from high school, just
not,
so you know.
I'm not going to ask either. But I mean, kind of right in the middle. Like maybe my class was some of the last ones to have some of those shop classes, and I feel fortunate to have gone through those. So we're going to embrace it. We have the problem, right? Mm-hmm. And what's the path to correcting it? Right, Kevin, talk a little bit about what SkillPoint does to help correct it.
So at SkillPoint, we're laser focused on looking at that issue, I think. And if I go back to being an educator, I think the aha moment for me was we had a student in particular that I'd worked really hard with to try to get across the finish line. Just mm-hmm. graduate and your world is going to change. Mm-hmm. Life is going to miraculously just make this incredible opportunity for you. Mm-hmm. And as he was walking across that stage, I remember shaking his hand, and then it hit me. It was like, he has no plan. Mm. He had no idea what he was going to do. He wasn't able to go to college. That wasn't an opportunity for him. And so for me, that was a moment in time where, like, we've got to have something different. There's got to be another pathway for this, for individuals who don't have, you know, that figured out, right? And so I think for me, SkillPoint is exactly that. We are offering individuals that don't have a pathway. They're not sure where they want to go. Maybe and life has thrown them a few curveballs. And so we are able to provide this 4 to 6 weeks of training. It's a Monday through Friday, 8 to 3. We treat it like a real job. So they come in and they get prepared to be what we would like to call employment ready. Mm-hmm. They got to be there every day. They got to be on time. We're really training the individual to be that, you know, that great employee at a company, at an electrical company or at a HVAC company. And when they graduate, they're ready to go. And they're getting into careers that are not just your average, you know, wage. They're getting into careers that have tremendous upward trajectory. Mm-hmm. We're helping them, you know, create what could be generational wealth, not only just for themselves and their entire families. And so that's something that we've been doing for the past 31 years, actually. We just turned 30. We'll turn 31 in April.
Wow.
And think about it. SkillPoint has been doing this for 31 years, and the model has not changed. And so I think what we're most proud of is that we're able to do this really quickly and rapidly and get our students into a career that's life-changing.
So you have a success story sitting to your left.
I do.
You have a success story. You want to tell us a little bit about your story, Jennifer, and how you came into being with SkillPoint?
I was a receptionist at a doctor's office, and my brother, he was like, Jen, like, where's that job going? Mm-hmm. He's a journeyman up in Washington, and he's like, try to go to school to be an electrician. Mm-hmm. And so as I'm studying at my desk to take this test so I can enter, well, I get let go of from my job, and I left that parking lot and I drove to this school. I didn't even know the name. Mm-hmm. I drove to this school that I was told that I wouldn't have to pay for, and it happened to be SkillPoint. I left a voicemail. 2 days later, I got a call back. 2 weeks later, I was sitting in my classroom for my pre-apprenticeship.
Wow.
4 weeks after that, I was graduating. Mm-hmm. And they taught me the basics. I didn't have to be so green. Mm-hmm. When I started my job that they connected me with at FSG. And my first day at FSG was my first day of my 4-year apprenticeship.
Oh, wow.
I graduated from there. I got my J card. Now I'm an electrical instructor studying for my master's right now. And I was able to just a touch back of I guess getting lost and thinking that there was a one size fits all. But I graduated from Del Valle High School, mm-hmm. pregnant, and I remember my best friends, their banners hanging from the ceiling with their faces and what schools they were going to. And I was pregnant with a child. Mm-hmm. But 2 weeks ago, I was able to go back to Del Valle and for Career College Day with my career and, mm-hmm. and telling these children that you can also, there's options. There's options. And I appreciate SkillPoint for giving me the option and giving me a career. And that's what it's been. It's been life changing.
What a great story. I wish I had a Kleenex. I got a little,
tear
in my right eye. From receptionist to foreman, right? Like what a transformation and what a testament to what y'all do at SkillPoint. I really love the fact that it's kind of like you said, being workforce ready or job ready. You're not the greenest person the first day that when you show up on the job site. For those that are listening that don't know what green means, that means you know nothing. That's like it's like the first time you walk with one of your kids into the garage to build a birdhouse. That's green, right? They have no idea where the wood is, where the nails are, what the drill is, how to use a circular saw or any of that. So what a great story. And then full circle to be able to go back to Del Valle and tell your story. Del Valle is a school we've been involved with for about a year in their CTE program and talking to their students. So I love to hear that you're giving back as well. We actually met before today at the ABC Careers in Construction last November, and you were out there representing FSG as well. So thank you for doing something yourself.
Anytime. I always want to drag, push or influence someone else to change their lives, to actually have direction. It's been life changing, and the building blocks to just have opportunities upon opportunities is amazing.
So the next question I wanted to talk about is really what are the challenges that face workforce development inside Central Texas? Like, why are people maybe not wanting to be in construction, or why have people not wanted to be in construction over the last couple of years? Is that somebody want to jump on that one?
I can jump in on that one.
Okay, great.
Well, a couple of reasons. When we talk to our clients who come to Workforce Solutions, and let me back up and say, at Workforce Solutions, we're really proud that we're one of the financial supporters of SkillPoint Alliance. So the way that Kevin and I, and by extension with Jennifer, work together is we've got contracts and we're helping fund not only the training, but other support services through SkillPoint. And so really proud to have that partnership. And through the work that we get to do across the community, we get to hear from our community about what's keeping them from reaching their fullest potential. I wish I could bring you everywhere, Jennifer. I love your story. And really, it kind of narrows down to, I would say, four top reasons that we're hearing. Number one, we're hearing that there's a skills gap. People don't necessarily have the skills that are in demand in the marketplace. Maybe they have been a receptionist somewhere, and while there are skills in that job, of course, that may not be the skills that translate to a career pathway. So that skills gap is one. Affordability and the cost of living is another barrier that we hear because it is expensive to live in Austin. Apartments are expensive. Housing is expensive. Transportation and so on. And so people are having a hard time, and they feel sometimes like they have to choose between getting an education, building their skills, or working. And because there are so many jobs, people can just get a job. The problem is it's not going to be a career pathway. And so there's that challenge in there. There are also barriers to employment that I think are hidden from people that have privilege and who maybe are affluent, and they don't always think of that. And those barriers are transportation. I mentioned that. Cost of living, I mentioned that. But what we don't talk about enough is childcare and access to childcare and paying for that. The cost of childcare for an infant can be as much or more than college tuition at the University of Texas. So it's very, very expensive. And if you're a single parent, even if you're a two-parent household raising one or more children, it's hard to make ends meet. And so that's a real barrier. And at Workforce Solutions, we're actually the largest supporter payer of childcare in this community. Every day, about 3,500 kids are getting support with their childcare because of what we do. But even with those numbers, even with that support and spending over $50 million a year in childcare, that's still just a drop in the bucket. We estimate it's about 11% of the total need of childcare in this community. And then last but not least, and I think it's really relevant to this conversation today, is One of the barriers is misconceptions related to what it means to work in skilled trades, what it means to work in mobility and infrastructure. I don't think we see often enough women role models who are working in this industry. We don't see often enough people who, you know, who look like us and people who are building careers. And so I think sometimes that can be pervasive. Schools, I think, are quick to have career fairs for healthcare or IT or air quote sexier industries. I think sometimes mobility and infrastructure may not get that kind of appeal with some of the students. And we're trying to change all that, that we're part of a movement that's really trying to redefine what it means and what it looks like. But taken all together, these barriers are not insurmountable, but they are real.
That's quite a list. I tried to keep up with you coming down here. We've talked a little bit about the skill gap. I want to talk about the cost of living for a minute. I read an article. I was on the airplane going to Washington, D.C. last week talking about if you were a single person living in Texas, that you need to be making about $87,000 a year to be able to have your own place to live, to be able to pay all your own bills and not be, you know, living on credit and not paying the minimum on your credit card bill. That seems like a lot of money. That's not even what we offer college graduates when they get out of college to come work for Flintco. That's not the starting salary for somebody with a college degree. So I can imagine having a receptionist job and kids, you know, what it was like to try to make ends meet. And then when the ends began not to meet, you had to do something, right?
It was very hard, very hard. And it was 2 weeks before I actually got started at a skill point, and then 4 weeks of schooling there. Mm-hmm. I started my job with FSG 2 weeks after that. So it was like a total of 8 weeks, probably 9 weeks without any income coming in. And so it was the struggle was extremely real.
But you've got to have, you said about spelling out the need for a career path and not just a job. We talked about 4,000 major job postings this year, or 4,000 more. How do we help students or young adults with that pathway? We talked earlier about being 18 years old and at this pivotal moment in your life, being able to make the right decision about what you want to do. Like, how do we get the word out to say, if the job you're picking isn't making $87,000, you're going to have a real hard time trying to get from here to there. What's something we can do collectively as a group to try to get that word out?
Go ahead, Kevin.
Yeah, I think it's really about changing the narrative. I think as we talked earlier, this whole stigma of the skilled trades back in, at least when I was in education, it was, you didn't go to college, you were considered a failure, which is really sad. Mm-hmm. Because there were just so many opportunities out there for students graduating to get into the skilled trades. And, you know, you could go through, I'm sure you can attest to this, you could go through an electrical program, become an apprentice and get your, you know, all your journeyman's license and have absolutely no debt whatsoever and get into a career that has a tremendous opportunity to make a lot of money in this industry. And so I think it's really, how do we get the word out that this is a lucrative industry? Obviously the jobs are out there. There's thousands of jobs that are available for individuals to get into. So it's about really getting out there and getting into the schools, getting the information out that these programs are available.
Yeah, I just want to add to that. I completely agree. And when we've talked to educators over the last 2 years, and we've talked to job creators like Flintco is and others, and said, what's it going to take? They keep telling us you need to go into the schools, and we need to get into the schools younger and younger. But here's the other thing. When you talk to the school districts, they say, can you please organize yourselves a little bit better? Like, we can't have every employer calling on us. Like, we need to be a little more organized. And I think that there's an opportunity while we're rebranding mm-hmm. to also look at how do we support our schools differently and better. I also had a superintendent of a local school district mentioned to me recently, and he said, Tamara, it's great that you bring employers into the classrooms and into the schools so that they can learn about the jobs. That's great. He said, but the students in my district don't have reliable transportation. And so when they want to participate in part-time jobs or internships or some of these other opportunities that you're bringing to us and saying available, they can't get themselves there. So I would say, and this is maybe a bold statement, but I think that as we move forward to address that 10,000 number, I think we're going to have to ask ourselves, what is the role of the private sector and what is the role of the public sector, the public-private partnership, mm-hmm. in addressing the needs of our schools and of our students to make sure not just the kids who come from families in neighborhoods that have transportation, but all of our kids, all of our students have an opportunity to access these opportunities.
Yeah, when I'm on the board of directors at ABC Central Texas, and the event we had this past fall out at Reunion Ranch, I think we had close to 600 high school kids from 17 different schools that came out. There was over 30 different trade partners, general contractors represented there. And I felt like for just a minute, we might be getting the word out, you know, like that maybe, just maybe, some of these students will hear some of the stories of people like Jennifer, some of the Flintco folks that were there that were sharing stories about how they started their career. And I was very excited as we walked around with a camera and a microphone asking the students if they were having a good time. They were saying, yes, I am. And I loved the welding booth over there, and maybe I want to be a welder. And I loved, you know, being able to bend conduit over here at this booth. And I loved talking to this person about HVAC. And I left there super excited, but now thinking it's like, okay, if only 10% of those make it in the workforce, that's only 60 of the 10,000 that we're looking at, you know, for the next year. So definitely some way to get into the school. But like you said, at an opportunity where you can catch more than just a class of 20 students or mm-hmm. two classes of 40 students, or go someplace that everybody has access to. Those are all.
I want to give you kind of another sobering statistic.
Oh boy.
I've talked about hangover, and now I'm so there's a theme here. I didn't mean there to be a theme. And this statistic might be different from SkillPoint, but at Workforce Solutions, when people come to us, they don't know yet what industry sector they want to go into. They don't know what they want. They want, I think a lot about Sam, a client that I met a few years ago, and he came out of the justice system and he came to us, and I had a chance to talk to him. He said, Tamara, there's three things I need from you. I need a person I can talk to mm-hmm. that'll help me understand what my options are. I need a plan for how I'm going to get there. And then I need you to instill some hope in me based on past success, you know, and so he was talking about that. And so we that's what we do every day. But for us, the statistic is we've got to talk to 40 people to get one person enrolled in a new career education program. So it's a wow. 40-1. So when we talk about getting the word out there, think about how many people, how many students, how many classes, how many groups of students you've got to talk to be able to get that 1, 2, 10, 20 people that actually sign their name on the line and become the Jennifer that show up and do it and see it through. It's not, again, it's not that we can't do it, but we need to be really eyes wide open that it's going to take all of us joining arms together. And I'm so glad that you're hosting us for this podcast today, because we've got to get this word out. We've got to narrow that conversion rate. 40-1 is not acceptable.
Mm-mm.
If we could go back, because you mentioned transportation, mm-hmm. and at the ABC event, they did bus all of the children
yeah.
out to all those trades and different companies. I believe that's why we were able to get, 600 students
yeah.
Out there. But if more events, maybe wider spread just like that, so that we, I guess, get more schools out, would be effective.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The goal is to have more this year. It's yet to be seen, right? That event's going to be later this year, and we'll follow up and provide the stats on a different podcast or a different video And hopefully that number gets bigger, and hopefully we'll have some success stories of students that come back and say, hey, I met him at the thing last year, and guess what? I'm working for whoever, for Way Mechanical or FSG or Comfort Systems, some of the people that were out there. Hey, I've got a job, or I'm working for Captain Hook, whatever it might be. Like, hey, here's a success story. And it's like, yeah, it worked, right? And we'll probably be in that 40-to-1 ratio. But for the one person that does make a difference, it's totally worth it.
Yeah, I was just going to say to Tamara's point that it is a collaborative effort. We all have to work together. It's not a competition. It really isn't. And it, you know, Tamara's team is very good about referring students to our programs. And our number one recruitment tool is word of mouth. And it really comes from former students who were talking about the programs. It's really everybody, you know, an all-in approach, whether it's contractors, whether it's industries, whether it's former students and organizations that support the work that we all do. We just all have to get together and come together and work together, you know?
What I wish is that we could take Jennifer on the road and have her telling her story to more people. Because I think if we could change the definition of what it means to be a hero, like, I think you fit that.
I am down anytime.
You fit that.
She does. She's my goat. She's my number one on the phone
list
there.
That. I would love to have you telling your story to more and more students.
And FSG knows. They're like, I'm like, look, this is what they mean to me. So I drop everything and they understand why.
That's great. Mm-hmm.
So one of the last things you talked about was the misconceptions of skilled labor. And that, you know, and Kevin even mentioned it earlier when you talked about, like, hey, if you didn't go to college, you're a failure. And I think there are a bunch of misconceptions about what labor looks like. I think of being, you know, 12 years old and sitting in the car and seeing somebody working on the other side of a concrete barrier on the highway or digging a ditch on the side of the road. And it's like, there's no way I'm going to be in construction if that's what you have to do, right? Nobody says, hey, that's the job I want. I mean, maybe at some point some people do, but it was not something that I thought. Like, how do we change that? How do we work on the misconception and try to help people understand that there is a plan, there is a path that leads to, you know, exponential growth? Could be exponential growth. If you're a self-starter and you show up on time and you do what you're asked to do, you have an opportunity to rock it off.
I believe it's the education of it all, because I believe that people are just misinformed. You believe that that person is out there digging ditches because they lack knowledge or they lack opportunity, when really it could be that they took advantage of an opportunity and that they know some. I mean, they could probably build you a house or what, like they could. Mm-hmm. There's plenty of skills that comes with that. If we just put out there that it's not, maybe it's not an alternative because you couldn't go to college, but it's actually put the desire there because it's another way of life. It's beneficial. It's not something to be looked down upon.
Yeah. And so. I think you're right there by saying it's a different alternative for life, right? And if you're whoever raises you, your mom, your dad, your grandmother, your grandfather, your aunt, uncle, if they're not somebody that's working in a skilled trade, it's probably not something you've thought about, right? It's exactly. Definitely a viable alternative, right? And it's like, I was raised by, you know, a guy that went to college and a mom that was halfway educated. Her father died when she was young and couldn't finish. But it was always, you know, put to me like, hey, you got to go to college just like your dad, and your grandfather was the first person that went. You can't be the guy that breaks the cycle, right, wrong, or indifferent. That's the way I felt. So it's like, hey, I'm going to plow on and I'm going to get through. And I went for 5.5 years. I enjoyed college so much. but at the same time, it's like I could have got out, you know, and you start thinking of this $87,000. You start thinking about the child care. You start thinking about what the college bill looks like. If you're not prepared to pay for it, like if you're not making 87, if you have a kid and if you're trying to pay your debt, your college debt, it's like there's no coming out, right? There's no way to get from here to there to make it work. So being able to present this as a viable alternative, I think, is a great idea.
Yeah, I think going back to what we were talking about earlier in terms of, you know, the whole college focus, I think that's been a generational thing. For when I was a kid, it was you got to go to college, and before that it was, you know, my parents are the same way, and I think that has just been embedded in our mindset for so long. Even when I was, you know, in education myself, the whole, it was a competition, was direct to college enrollment, and there was a big award you got if you were a school, and the more people you got, it was a big thing, right? And we have just now gotten to the point where I think we're finally getting, hey, these jobs are important, and, you know, you can go and get into these careers without any debt. And there is light at the end of the tunnel, and you could really do so much for yourself and your family if you get into one of these careers. I think it's changing, but I think it's just, it's not as quick as we want it to, but I think getting the word out, like Jennifer is saying, and letting people know this just isn't, it's not just some alternative. This is a real thing. This is a job that is life-changing, career.
And I just want to add to that. I agree with everything that's been said, and I would say, let's not forget about the parents and the caregivers, because we can get to the students, but Kevin, your story is right on the money. And even Daniel, your story, if the parents think that their child, even if their child goes to that career fair and says, that's what I want to do. I want to work in skilled trades. I want to work in construction. I want to do this. And they go home and they tell their parent, and their parent's like, no. Everyone in our family goes to four-year school, university, you got to go. So I think part of the education is we need to also be gearing our awareness raising and branding toward the parents and caregivers. And one of the most persuasive ways we found at Workforce Solutions to do that is show them the money. We show them the money and we say, look, here's what people can make in this industry. Here is the pathway. And Kevin, you said it so well earlier, like, and you can do it debt-free by getting into an apprenticeship program. Mm-hmm. The short-term pre-apprenticeship leads to apprenticeship. Apprenticeship, what is apprenticeship? It's earn and learn, right?
Yes.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but you were earning a paycheck while you were learning skills. Did you come out with any debt?
No.
See? And that's the message we need to be talking to these parents. Mm-hmm. Is it the path for everyone? No. But is it a path for a lot of kids? Kevin, that story you told about that student, that when you met him on the stage, you're like, he has no plan. Like, imagine if you could have said, hey, there is this pathway where you can realize your full potential and not go into debt.
Right. Yeah.
Like, I don't know a parent that wouldn't be interested in at least hearing that one out.
Initially, I wanted my children to go to college. If that's what they want to do, I'm happy for them. But having taking this path, I just want you to have a career. I want you to have a career. And you can do that by learning a trade, or you can do that by going to college. Either way, I'm happy, because I'm able to sit at the table with my college graduate friends, and I'm able to take on the same opportunities that they are. You're buying a home, I'm buying a home. Like, where it seemed long ago that I wouldn't have a chance. Like, I have the same chances, and I'm doing the same things. So it took me a little longer, but I caught up.
And you're picking up the check.
Yes.
I think you should tell that story.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's a great point. I haven't thought about even bringing the parents into the education. Because if the parents went to school, they're naturally going to be like, hey, you just need to do the same thing I did. And as a child, I was the same way. It's like, well, you know, this is the path that my dad took and my mom took, and they got married and they blah, 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 and they had this, and they had kids, and this is just the way life is, right? But I think being able to get them up to speed also, just say, hey, look, this is an opportunity. Here's somebody that's made it work. Here's somebody that's made it happen. And there's probably more success stories out there, right, of people that have been able to make it happen by really being able to step up and say, hey, look, I'm gonna do something different. I'm gonna try a different path and see where we end up.
Yeah.
So you mentioned something earlier, Tamara, that I wanted to go back to, and it was about hire local. As a guy that's worked in Central Texas for 20 years, and have watched people come in and out, watch companies come in and out, watch companies rise up and fall. Why is hire local important for you and maybe for our group right here?
Well, I think one of the reasons is if we live in this community, why would we not want to see that all of our neighbors have an opportunity to buy a house if that's what they want, to live to their fullest potential and support their families? So for me, a hire local is about, it is not saying we're not a welcoming community where people can move in. Clearly, we're a growing community, and at Workforce Solutions, we support all of that. But it's to say, let's not forget that our neighbors who live next door, down the street, even across town, they matter. You matter. So I would say that's part of it. I'm also a mom, and mm-hmm. I remember when my daughter started driving, and I remember that fear I had when she set out down the road by herself in the car. And I remember thinking, gosh, I hope all the other drivers are patient, and I hope that they, no one's texting and driving. And what I realized, and I'll bring it back to this hire local, what I realized is when you live in a community, everyone has to act in a way that takes care of each other so that all of our children are safe. All of our children are safe. All of us have an opportunity to live and thrive. And that's really what hire local is about. It's about saying, we're going to take care of each other. We're going to be here as a community. We're going to build community. One of the things I love about the work we're doing with the Infrastructure Academy and the work we're doing with SkillPoint Alliance and others is it's not just about building the airport. It's not just about building roads. It's about building community. It's about building community, ultimately, taking this $25 billion of projects, helping people build career pathways so that people in this community benefit. While they're building a career pathway, they also benefit from the economic wealth that is being created through all these projects so that everyone gets to tie in. I believe personally that leads to better health outcomes, safety, public safety outcomes. It addresses affordability. Like, I have yet to find a social problem that people having really good jobs and seeing a future for themselves and their families, what that's not going to fix.
I love the thought of building community because construction is a tight knit community. You're nodding your head too. When you think about building community, what does that mean to you, Jennifer?
I think of schools. I think of children. I think of the actual, like, what it takes to build that community, and it takes the construction worker. It takes the profits from that neighborhood and fundraisers. Mm-hmm. It takes all of that. It takes all of us.
Mm-hmm. What do you think about when you think of building community?
Well, I think. What I want to go back to is what Tamara was talking about with the Infrastructure Academy. I think mm-hmm. about the collaborative effort that everyone is really putting together to make this all work. And I think for the first time since I've been involved, everybody is working together to kind of figure this thing out. Mm-hmm. How can we change this? How can we make this work for all of us together? And really and truly, we have so many, you know, opportunities for folks in our community to really change their lives. And I think it's finally coming together, and I'm really excited about that.
For those listening that might not know what the Infrastructure Academy is, can you give us just a brief overview of it?
Well, I'm not going to steal Tamara's thunder because she has Tamara, been leading this.
Yeah. You jump in because you've been part of it from the beginning. Yes. So the Infrastructure Academy at its core, mm-hmm. it's about building a career navigation marketplace where students, workers who maybe are receptionists now or have other jobs who are looking for a career pathway, even just a change, can go and can connect with a SkillPoint Alliance, Austin Community College, any number of other educators can connect to those opportunities and also connect with employers that are ready to hire them right now and grow their skills on the job. So it's about creating a marketplace, but what's important about it, and this is where I'm going to give SkillPoint a plug because you guys do this so well, it is embedding that career navigation part of it because we're not assuming that everyone knows what the jobs are, how to get into them, what the different jobs mean, what they pay. So we're really trying to address some of these barriers we talked about earlier mm-hmm. through this Infrastructure Academy. And it has been so gratifying that, as Kevin said, this work is brought together companies like yours, elected officials in our community, the education community, community-based organization, our union community, all coming together, you know, putting down their competitive differences mm-hmm. and saying, if we're going to address these workforce shortages, we have got to come together in a collaborative way because there's plenty to go around.
There is. And the whole competitive piece, I think when I first came on board at SkillPoint, it was like a competitive, you had this competitive nature. Like mm-hmm. This is what we're going to do. And this is how many students we're going to train. And these are our students. And I feel like now for the first time, we are all talking the same language. We're all working together for the same goal. And we're sharing, you know, we're referring students to each other. We're really working as a team, as opposed to, you know, these are our students. This is my territory. This is, you know, stay out, stay in your lane kind of thing. That's not no longer the case. And I think I'm really excited about what we're doing here.
That's back to community to
it
me,
is.
Right?
It's I back mean,
when
to community.
When you have the community and you're looking out for the greater good, like we just listed here on my sheet, the big jobs in town, right? We don't know what the light rail implications are. We maybe not what the full implications are of I-35, but like we're all going to have to be a part of.
Oh no,
we're all going to have to be a part of this plan, right? And there's plenty of work just in these to keep anybody that's listening occupied
and
for the next years and years and years, right? Not to mention all the other jobs that are going to be going on, whether it's the $400,000 air conditioner fit out in a dorm downtown, or it's going to be, you know, fan filter replacement in a clean room over on this campus or whatever. It's like, These are just the showcase jobs. There's all kinds of work in between. And the community aspect is kind of like, you want to see everybody be a part of it. You want to see everybody succeed, because if everybody's succeeding collectively, you're seeing the economic growth. You're seeing the benefits in the community. You're not worried about your kids when you're driving down the road, because you know that everybody else has had a hard day's work and is going to be taking care of themselves to get home. And it's something I try to build, whether it's on a job site or whether it's in a group of folks that I get together with. It's like we try to be connectors. You meet somebody and it's like, hey, let me introduce you to somebody else. Hey, let me figure out how I can help you, you know, help jump your career. And all of a sudden, when that's the mentality and it's not the, hey, stay out of my lane, you can't have this kind of work, or I don't want you to meet Jennifer because we don't want her getting out of, you know, we want to keep her forever, whatever it might be. There's a selfish aspect. And if you hold on to those little things, you end up destroying them yourself. Right. And I think it's by being collective, by building the community, we can really see this thing take off.
You know, one of the terms that I found myself thinking a lot during this work is, with the Infrastructure Academy, do we each individually want credit, or do we collectively want credibility? Mm-hmm. And I think it's about building community by being credible. And what do I mean by that? Means living this higher local idea that we're taking care of each other. So I'm happy to forego credit. Sure, it's great for Workforce Solutions, but it's not about Workforce Solutions. It's about doing the work for the community, because I would much rather, when it's said and done, have other job creators in our community say, I was able to find the workforce I needed right here from our local school pipeline, right here from our community-based organization training mm-hmm. programs. Like, find that higher, that talent here locally. That's what higher local means to me. And that's the credibility that I really see is important in this work.
It's always been one of my charges to myself to leave the industry better than I found it.
Right.
Right. And to be able to do something that is more credible than credit. Like, people don't need to sit around and talk about Dano 50 years from now and what he did. It's like, but if there's people whose course has changed, or their life has gotten better, or they've been afforded opportunities by something that collectively we've been able to provide, that's worth way more than one person saying, oh, well, he gave me a shot and that's why I got to work here. It's kind of like, if we all work together, then we can all be credible in the same breath.
And I think the beauty of the Academy is it really promotes that in and of itself. I mean, it's not a one size fits all, mm-hmm. right? I mean, you could come and if you're looking for a short-term training, you want to get in and out, that might be us. But if you're looking for something that's longer and more, you know, able to fit your schedule or something like that, that may be a different training provider, or just there's different opportunities out there. And I think that's what we're trying to promote here. And I think I couldn't be more, like, I keep saying I'm super excited about it. I've been, not as long as Tamara, but as long as I've been in this whole workforce, you know, business, I have longed for something like this, something where we're all talking the same language and we're all working together. So yeah, we're excited.
So for somebody that's listening and here's SkillPoint and here's free, what's the opportunity for somebody to get involved, or how often do your classes run, or how do they apply? Is there a website or is there a screening process? Just a couple minutes about that.
Okay. Well, yeah, you can go to our website, which is skillpointalliance.org. The trainings are 4 to 6 weeks, 4 weeks for pre-apprentice electrical, 4 weeks for plumbing, 5 weeks for HVAC. And we also have a manufacturing class that's 5 to 6 weeks, depending on your location. And it's Monday through Friday, 8 to 3. Once you apply, we do a screening process just to make sure that you are really, this is something you really want to do. So we do a little bit of vetting, but you know, for the most part, if you're really interested in getting into this career, you're going to get in. And you know, we have about a 90%, 91% graduation rate. So it's I'm pretty proud of that. And
yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah. A little over 80% of our students get employed.
That's great.
Once they graduate. And we work with a lot of different employers throughout the community. It's sort of the secret sauce of what we do.
So how often do the classes run?
So it's 4 weeks, and then we take a break about a week, and then another one starts. So they're pretty quick, about a week break between each one. So
You have good instructors lined up? Are you looking for instructors?
Always looking for a good instructor. Let me tell you, that's what you want to ask me what keeps me up at night. It's if I lose an instructor. That's my biggest fear. So we have been continuously vetting for instructors. So yeah, if you're interested in teaching at SkillPoint Alliance, here's a plug.
Yeah, absolutely. Because I think of folks. I'm thinking of superintendents that work for Flint Co. that are School of Hard Knocks guys. Uh-huh. Guys that just graduated from high school, and you know, the Monday after Memorial Day are in line trying to get a job somewhere, and have spent, you know, 40, 50 years as a superintendent running work. Like, who better to be your teacher than that guy? Because when you've done this for 80% of your life, you can't just hang it up. You can't just say, hey, I'm walking away. You know,
sure.
I'm never going to walk on a job site again. Never going to carry my tape measure, lace up my boots, wear my safety vest. It's like, I think of, there's guys that are running through my head. I'm like, oh man, that'd be awesome if they could come over and teach a plumbing class for you, or they could come over and teach an HVAC type class.
I think you just found a recruiter.
I think I'm.
But you just let me know, man.
All right.
Just hit me up. Or if you're listening and want to know, comment on the YouTube video, comment, shoot us an email. We'll be happy to connect you with Kevin as well. So when we look around the table, I've written down some reasons or some ideas of how we can help. We talked about financial partners for SkillPoint. Is that as easy as just going onto the website or emailing you, or clicking the info tab and saying, hey, we want to...
All of the above.
Can you share like what it costs to run SkillPoint for the year, and like, or is that something...
You know, per student, I would say it's roughly around anywhere between $4,000 to $5,000 a student.
Okay.
So, yeah.
And I'm sure y'all accept scholarships. Like, absolutely. If we want to send 10 students through, it's like, hey, here's a check for 50 grand. Okay. 4 to 5,000 a student. We talked about a collaborative effort. We talked about the different things we can do, different ways to get involved. And definitely the Infrastructure Academy. What's the date of the Infrastructure Academy? It's coming up.
It's on March 26th.
Yes, March 26th. Woo, 4 days away. So... is this going to be a yearly thing or a quarterly thing, or what's the plan for it right now?
So we're going to have quarterly events open to the public. So this is the first one of the year. We pushed it about to the end of the Q1 as we could go. And so look, there's going to be more coming. So you can check out WFSCapitalArea.com, WFSCapitalArea.com, and we'll be promoting these on a quarterly basis. Also, if I can put in a plug, if you're not sure yet whether you want to go to SkillPoint, and I completely endorse SkillPoint Alliance, but if you're not sure yet what you want to do, if you come to WFSCapillary.com, there's a simple interest form. You fill out just a few basic questions. From that, we're going to have a career navigator get in touch with you, talk to you, meet you where you are. Because some people may feel like because they have childcare needs or transportation needs, maybe they're in an unstable housing situation, all the above, they're not sure that they're a good fit. We're going to talk you through it. We're going to figure out how we bring those resources to you. So if you want to go to SkillPoint, we can make that a lot easier for you too.
I love the thought of the career navigator, right? Just being able to answer the questions, yeah. Right? If you don't know somebody that's been through it, it's a super hard process to go through, whether it's changing the oil in your car or trying to change careers. Like, there's got to be some training, some ramp up for that. So everybody that's listening today, you're now informed, right? Mm-hmm. You now know we're looking for $10,000 a year for the next 20 years. And it's going to be up to us sitting at the table. It's going to be up to those that are listening to say, hey, where can you find a place to make a difference? It sounds like we got a couple great opportunities here. This Infrastructure Academy sounds incredible. Sounds like a great opportunity for people to get involved. It's probably pretty easy to get involved and be a part of that and be able to reach out, help spread the word. What are like some closing thoughts? Is there anything that you wanted to share you hadn't been able to share today on workforce development?
Well, if you're unsure about the number of jobs that are available, just drive downtown and look up. Mm-hmm. As I'm looking over here, and I tell this all the time to the classes. You look at the cranes, and I count the number of cranes that are downtown all the time. I'm kind of a nerd about that, but they've not changed since 2016. The cranes have stayed there, and there's new cranes going up, and there's new buildings going up. There's construction going on. It's not just what you're mentioning. There's so much more, and the opportunities are there. Believe me,
there are opportunities. We have more cranes in the next couple of months for Flintco as well. You'll see pop up that have our logo on them.
Yeah.
What about you, Jennifer?
I just say, if you don't know what you want to do, take a chance and do what scares you. Mm-hmm. Do what scares you. That's what I live by, and it's done me well. Mm-hmm. So, and SkillPoint is a great support. They have employers come to you rather than you going to them. So, yeah, if you don't know where to start there with something that scares you.
And the folks at FSG, thanks for letting you come out today as
yes,
well, right?
Thank you, FSG. I love my family.
What about for you, Tamara? Anything else that you wanted to bring up today? Or?
I would say three words. It's earn and learn, but you earn what you learn. And there are a lot of different ways that you can learn, as we've talked about. It's not just about a four-year university or college. It's about being on a job, learning skills. It's about apprenticeship. There's a number of ways. But from a data perspective, Dana, when we look at how you break that barrier out of poverty, how you build a career, it has to do with having skills that are in demand. And the more specialized your skills get as you become higher in your position, the more you earn. So I want people to know that there is a pathway. Jennifer, you exemplify that beautifully. There is a pathway, and that people can really earn a lot more money by just spending a little bit of time learning, and the future's wide open.
Yeah, and this industry gives you a chance to learn every day, even though after you learn your trade, I mean, you can talk about all kinds of different projects you've been on and things that you've learned. We were talking about it earlier about what a walkable ceiling is and what it's like to be in the clean part of the clean room and the dirty part of the clean room. So if you're listening, you're on notice, you've heard, right? We're looking for some help. We need to get the word out. We're looking for sponsorships, whether it's for the Infrastructure Academy, SkillPoint Alliance, whether you know somebody that would be a great instructor, or even just your time, right? Being able to spend a little bit of time with somebody, young adult, high schooler, explain to them how you got to where you are, help them navigate, help them look at what are the different opportunities, right? Those are all ways that we can all be a part of building the workforce here in Central Texas that's going to help us with the hire local to be able to build our communities and be able to really enjoy what we've created here, which is, you know, one of the biggest cities in the U.S. now. So it was awesome conversation today. I really appreciate y'all coming in. Appreciate being able to share the space with you and be a part of the conversation today.
Thanks, Dan.
Thank you
so much. This is great.
Enjoyed it. Thank y'all.
Thank you, Flintco.
Thank you.